Hello, welcome to Artbeat Africa. I'm Jenny Horrocks. This week, we meet the director of a new movie called October 1, set in the days leading up to Nigerian independence. African art sells for record-breaking prices in New York.
10,600,000, if we're all done, selling them at $10,600,000. $10,600,000, hang me.
And the big names of Francophone West African singing get together to record a new single, Africa Stop Ebola.
It's time for evening prayers.
Another girl is missing.
Detective Inspector Danny Waziri.
That native police officer.
Leave for Akoti first thing in the morning. I require this case wrapped up for the 1st of October, Independence Day.
Yes, sir.
That's a taste of Nigerian movie October 1. It's set in 1960 on the verge of Nigeria's independence from British colonial rule. A northern Nigerian police detective, Dan Waziri, is urgently dispatched by the colonial government to a trading post town of Akoti in the western region of Nigeria to solve a series of female murders that have struck horror into the hearts and minds of the local community. It's a slick, dark, psychological thriller produced and directed by Kunle Afolayan. It premiered last week at the London African Film Festival Film Africa, and Paul Bajibinga asked him how it had been received.
A lot of people think it's something new coming out of Africa in terms of production value and in terms of style of storytelling. And a lot of people also think the story is a bit provoking. It's a kind of story that an average African will shy away from.
And what's the story?
A police detective is summoned by the British colonialists at the verge of Nigeria independence to resolve murder case in a trade zone part of Nigeria. They want the crime to be resolved before the Nigeria flag is raised and the British flag lowered. And at the end of the day, after the whole murder got solved, they decided not to present the file of the case because of their own agenda. But the takeaway for me and a lot of people in this film is, look, the British or the American or the German, whoever they are, have done their bit, you know, by colonizing us. Once they are gone, our fate is in our hands. And I think the onus rests on us to make the best out of whatever it is we have available to us. And I think that is one of the problems we have. I mean, I read a review of someone who saw the film, and he tied the film to the entire problem of Nigeria. He feels that every top political person in Nigeria should go and see the film and call a conference for the
So are you saying that Nigeria has not made the best of what it got at independence?
No, I don't think we have. If we have, we won't be where we are today. I don't think so.
And who's to blame?
All of us, the people. We are the country. We are the politician. The Awolowo and the Ahmadu Bello and the Zeke, they all got there at the age of 31, 32 and all of that. Right now, a 31-year-old guy is not even interested in politics. And we still have the same old people, you know, running the show and ruling the country. So I think it's high time every young guys out there, you know, came out to join.
I haven't watched the film yet, but just watching the trailer, the production values are really high. They're not the normal, should I say, Nollywood type of film. Mm. How did you achieve that?
It was a mindset thing. I mean, it's not my first film. It's my fourth feature film. I realized you need to take a stand. It's either you spend 4, 5, 6 years chasing grant from the Western world and also compromising your artistic direction, or take the small money that you have, look for a good story and just tell your story. And, you know, the important thing is you need to determine who you are doing the film for. You need to determine your audience. It's either you want to go big and compromise your artistic direction and liberty and get grants and wait every 5 years or more before you can make a film, or have a dream, look for money, and shoot your film.
Because they always say period films are very difficult to make. Where did you get, for example, the cars that I've seen on screen?
You know, when I got the film, that was my major concern. Then I went online. You know, I started small, looking for things like gramophone, you know, Jailer's Key, Ankov's, Colonial Helmet. We couldn't get them in Nigeria, so I ordered them from Amazon and eBay, you know. And I started picking all of those. But the cars, I put on social media that I'm looking for this vehicle. And someone saw one somewhere and took the picture and sent to my page and said, hey, I found this. I don't know who the owner is. Then I copied it and put it back on social media and said, I'm looking for the owner of this car. You know, and somehow we found the owner, and he said, look, he loves my work, that I will be willing to, you know, to release the car. And when we went to the other state outside of Lagos, we will be driving and we just see, you know, some of this car drive past. Then we got them, refurbished them to suit what we want to do. We use them for filming and we return them back to the owner.
Nigerian film director Kunle Afolaye. Now, African art broke records at Sotheby's Auction House in New York City this week. On Tuesday, a collection of pre-19th century statues from Congo, Ivory Coast, Liberia and Mali was sold at Sotheby's for a total of $41 million, twice the price expected and by far the highest price African artwork has ever been auctioned for in the United States. Leslie Goff was at the record-breaking New York City sale.
$10,600,000. If we're all done, selling them at $10,600,000.
African art had a record-breaking, money-making day in New York City Tuesday.
$10,600,000, behind me. Congratulations. L-00-24.
168 pre-19th century antique statues from Mali, Liberia, Congo and Ivory Coast fetched more than $40 million, the highest ever for a sale of African art in the United States. It's all part of a surge in prices and interest, so says Sotheby's Heinrich Schweitzer.
This is definitely a world record for an auction in America of African art, probably around $40 million, which catapults African art to a new dimension.
Why do you think it's taken so long for this sort of recognition and these sorts of prices?
I think it's a result of globalization and an ever broader interest in universal masterpieces. And African art had been denied its deserved status.
Yes, sir, 44,000. Thank you. And thank you, madam. 539.
Now, most of those bidding and buying at Sotheby's auction were Europeans and Americans. But in amongst them were a few Africans.
My name is Bengali Dumbia from Ivory Coast. We need to be upfront, you know, buying those things, collecting, and eventually take it back to the motherland where they belong. So step four, instead of go buying Van Braun, Picasso for $100 million, you know.
Well, here's the question. What did you buy here today?
Well, today I couldn't afford it. It was out of my range. But it's good to see.
The spirit was good, but the pocket wasn't that deep.
Not deep, no.
Now, it's worth saying that for all the excitement at this record-breaking sale, that there are many that believe that the auctioning of artwork used mostly for religious purposes is wrong and that the items should be returned to Africa. And that's exactly what the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, here in the United States, did when it received as a gift recently pre-19th century African art. The museum's Victoria Reed.
We wrote to the National Commission for Museums and Monuments in Nigeria and essentially asked them if they had, in fact, authorized their export. And they said, in fact, they had not. So to be able to reach a resolution with a source country is, of course, in its own way very gratifying.
But Sotheby's Heinrich Schweitzer sees things differently. He says now is not the time to dwell on such matters, when African art is making history and breaking records in New York.
There were certainly instances when colonial powers took works with force. However, people parted with many of the works willfully. If they had not parted with them, they would have been abandoned.
Right, so controversial stuff, but you here at Sotheby's, you want to concentrate on the success that's taken place, record-breaking sale of African art here in New York City.
It is something that makes me very happy today because it gives African art and African culture finally a recognition that it was denied for way too long.
42,000, David. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your stamina. We were thrilled that you were here today.
A report by Leslie Goff in New York. Now, the bid to spread the message about Ebola has come in various guises, among them song. The latest effort from a collective of West Africa's biggest musical stars, Salif Keita, Amadou and Mariam, Mori Kante and Tikenja Fakoli, to name a few. Their song is called Africa Stop Ebola. Rita Ray spoke to the record's producer about how the song came about.
L'Afrique est pleine de tristesse de voir nos familles mourir. Ne touchons pas nos malades, ne touchons pas nos mourants. Tout le monde est en danger, les jeunes et les anciens. Il faut agir pour nos familles.
Twelve of Francophone African music's biggest names have come together and created a track called Africa Stop Ebola. I'm here with one of the co-producers and one of the lyricists of the song. His name is Carlos Chirinos and he's head of SOAS Radio at London School of Oriental and African Studies. Carlos, what is the backstory? How did this record come about?
The song Africa Stop Ebola started as a collective of African artists who decided to take this Ebola issue on their own hands and try to do something about it. We started the work with some of the executive producers who managed these artists, but it was really led and embraced by people like Tikenja Fakoli, Salif Keita, Amadou Mariam, and so many others, who came together and decided to actually do something to send a message to fellow Africans about what they can do to help stop the disease.
And this is what one of Africa's most popular artists had to say about his involvement in the project.
Hello, I'm Tikenja Fakoli speaking from Bamako in Mali. Me and a group of African artists have come together to make this song Africa Stop Ebola. The song is a message of hope to our people. Africa needs to stand up and fight this disease together. Ebola can be stopped if we all work together. For this virus to stop, the doctor and nurse need our help. We hope that fellow Africans listen to the message in the song and follow them. Please report the sick to the health authority. And the most important message is that Ebola can be beaten. Many people are surviving the disease, and those who survive are fine. Let's not be ashamed of them. Let's step up to help the orphans and those who have lost their family in this terrible tragedy. This is a difficult time, but the message is, Africa, you can stop Ebola. Rastafari, Africa.
West Africa's finest musicians putting their musical muscle behind the fight against Ebola. And that's it for Artbeat Africa for now. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for more cultural inspiration from across the continent. You can also find arts and cultural stories throughout the week on our Facebook, Twitter and Google Plus pages. Our username is BBC Africa. I'm Jenny Horrocks. Bye for now.
Encore une fois, on parle de tragédie, comme une fausse note qui vient dans la mélodie. Ebola, on te pensait depuis leur aboli. Tu te balades en déboulant seulement la maladie. On va pas fuir devant toi, on va pas s'enterrer. Car on le sait, on a les moyens de s'en tirer. On va te ferrer, on n'est pas pestiféré. On va se mettre ensemble, on va te virer. Ebola, mon
homme. Tu frappes le continent, L'Afrique a besoin de vaccins, de médicaments. Est-ce que l'espoir pour eux est permis? Faut-il fermer les yeux et les laisser dans l'oubli?